B62. Number 6B.
Yeah, I remember that when I went through class with John Dolly, which is already quite a few years ago, nearly 50 years ago. The very first thing he would point out about healing was this article, that now be careful what you are aiming at. You're not aiming at the science of physical harmony. There's something more about Christian Science than that. And because he had seen that, and I have never heard anybody else in the literature or so in the movement that would point out that. On the contrary, they still hammer on it, the signs of physical harmony, the signs of physical harmony, the signs of having better bodies and so on is the main point. Because they didn't ask for the next question, for the higher question, they couldn't find an answer. And therefore, it's quite reasonable to see why they are not progressing in their understanding. All right. So we can see that if we do not go further, that we are actually not helping the world today. And especially as we can see that today there are hundreds and hundreds of various groups and denominations that are engaged in that kind of work, of trying to find physical harmony through one or the other method, through thousands of different methods, whatever they are. But the purpose is, can we really dominate the body with thought, with thinking, with some kind of mental tricks? Whereas really the 6,000 year period would really be where we are engaged with in our work for another kind of demonstration. Our primal ideal, not the only, but our primal ideal would be to demonstrate not a better body, but to demonstrate the system of ideas. And that does not need to have to do anything with the body. If it would have to do with the body, only sick people could really be interested in Christian Science. Or those people who are afraid that they will get sick very soon, so that they have a means to heal themselves. But if people are healthy and want to remain healthy and are not bothered with the belief that one could get sick, where it becomes quite natural that one doesn't get sick, and that it is silly to get sick. If one nurtures that idea that it is natural to live in the rhythm of ideas, so that there is no opportunity for mortal mind to attack the body, then we must have an interest in Christian Science that is different than healing. So the demonstration is no more demonstrating the idea in the body, as in the 5,000 year period. No more the harmony in the body. It's then a pure ideal, namely to demonstrate what is the science of being. That's our demonstration. See? People think demonstration must have to do with evil, must have to do with sickness, must have to do with body. Well, demonstration does not have to do with that. In a pure science, you don't demonstrate always power over a mistake. In a pure science, you demonstrate always higher aspects of that science. That's your demonstration. Is that clear?
Would you run it by again?
Run it by again? Huh? Yeah? You see, that word demonstration has got a wrong connotation or a limited connotation in Christian Science. It has the connotation of healing physical situations. That is demonstration. Therefore, overcoming an error. Now, in a science, you can demonstrate the truth, a true situation. In chemistry or in physics or whatever it is, you demonstrate a new theorem. You demonstrate a new method where everything goes right. Well, nothing has to be corrected. That's the demonstration in science. You see that? What we would call, perhaps, negative problems and positive problems. Negative problems would be healing, would be whenever we correct something that is wrong. But we should be engaged in demonstrating positive problems. Positive problems are propositions that are put before us that are not wrong, where there is nothing wrong, but a proposition that could bring us or show us a higher sense of that science. You see that?
Will you repeat that? Because I find it difficult in showing that absolute Christian science level at that point and define positive problems.
Yes.
And I think you've just done it. Could
yes.
Do it again?
I can perhaps first give you an example from history. You see, Einstein came along. He didn't have a negative problem. Newton's law were working wonderfully. There was no question about it. There was no negative problem that the laws of mechanics didn't work. He came along, but he had a higher idea and was thinking out a higher theorem. You know, theorem is the right term. A higher theorem. And little by little he found a higher theorem that did not destroy the old theorem, that did not correct something that went wrong. He showed a higher, newer insight into physics. That's a positive problem.
It took him 30 years.
No, it only took him a few years. You see, the theory of relativity was within his few years, when he was a little employee in Bern. But sometimes it takes longer. For me, it always takes longer. It always takes about 20 or 30 years. I quite agree. If you go to school and you go to math, they give you a problem to solve. Is that problem wrong? No. Does it have to correct something? No. You have to solve the stated problem. It's all in the realm of truth. Isn't it so? So our whole life, you see, should be much more filled in consciousness, that it becomes a natural attitude within us. That Christian Science is here that we can see more and more a higher theorem, a more exact theorem, an enlarged sense of what we already know. Without that, something has to be corrected or healed. Do you see that? And do you see why people in Christian Science are always ill? They are always ill because they stay back with the science of physical harmony. All that they have in their head is, how can I get healed? All that they have in their head is, in case I get sick, I know how to heal myself without going to the doctor and paying a big bill. That's all what they have in their head. And I don't have to go to the hospital. That's wonderful. I can only go to the telephone. That's all. So they entertain in consciousness over years, over 10 and 20 years, a consciousness that is wrong. Namely, expecting that they can get sick and then they will have a means of healing it. I can't do that. I never think of it that way. I never did. Perhaps, thank God, it was thing of grace, perhaps, that right from my youth, I didn't need to do that. I was just enthused by the science itself. I was healthy. I didn't need to be healed of anything, like perhaps other people had to. They come into Christian Science that way. I didn't have to come in that way. So it's perhaps the grace that was at work. But I never really studied Christian Science for the sake that I know how to destroy error. I always studied it for the sake, how can I see that science clearer and clearer and clearer? See? Yeah, Pinky.
So then you have to define at that point, that approach, 672, the term error and the term problem.
Yes, they are not the same.
Because that eliminates the idea of sickness.
Yes.
It also eliminates the concept of what error is. Errors can be a disturbance factor in a present period. So that, and that anomaly then, in your consciousness, forces a new science, a new approach to that problem.
Yeah.
And the problem is a scientific problem, it isn't a physical problem.
Exactly. See?
Okay.
It's a scientific problem. Yeah? You see?
Thank you.
Well, that's what we should be interested in. That's what we have to demonstrate. Yes, Caroline?
The important point, it seems to me, about the love of science and the love of truth for its own sake is that we need to start there.
Yes.
There's a wonderful, two things about this I'd like to share. One is something that the great physicist Maxwell said he had invented or come across in his great contribution. And Queen Victoria was told about it, and she said, well, but of what use is it? And he said, well, madam, of what use is a baby?
Oh, that was it.
Now, that was one. The other is that, of course, Einstein loved truth for its own sake. He was not trying to correct a problem. But the whole space program can work now because of what he did.
Yes.
Even though he wasn't looking for that. He loved truth and was just his subject. So it isn't, we don't just do it for nothing. It isn't that science exists for its own sake. It's like a baby. It's going to make something that you don't know what it is. It's going to be something.
It's going to be something even if you don't know at the beginning for what it will be.
Yes.
I mean, Einstein with the theory of relativity couldn't see what practical application we'll ever have.
Right.
I guess if he had known that he gave the theory for the atom bomb, perhaps he would have shut his mouth.
Yeah.
I don't know. But he couldn't see it. But every new view will have afterwards its effect. Quite right. And the higher will be the effect. But in the other science, it can have a dualistic effect, always good and evil. Whereas in Christian science, it can only have a good effect. That's the difference then. But it has always its effect on its application. So it isn't something neutral, so to say. Huh?
But Mrs. Eddy could just go for a ride in her carriage, and she would see something wrong with someone and without even talking to them.
Yes.
Or if she saw a sick baby, she would just not even go to the sick baby.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We do not know anybody today who can do that.
Not in the way she did it, no. No. So, why?
Is it why? I'd like
why?
To know why.
Now, you like to know why. Now, Jesus did the same.
Yes.
Yeah. And we want to know why. And the why is always that Jesus, though he lived in the 5,000 year period, he knew divine science.
Mm-hmm.
He knew divine science.
He used divine science.
He used a new divine science. Mm-hmm. And we are on the way. We are not there.
Oh, we are on the way.
No, we are not there yet.
Oh.
We still have a consciousness that is not so cultured. That it acts that way. But there is another aspect to that, you know. Then you could say, well, then we really should try to do that also. Yes? And we say, well, is that so? Is that really the way the world is going to be saved? All right, let's discuss the hypotheses. Let's discuss the hypothesis that each one of us is a Jesus. And we all go out into the world. So we have one for every big city. And everyone goes through the road or through the streets of that city and just whistles up to the house and say, "Do you have somebody sick up there? Come down, I heal it. Do you have somebody sick up there?" And you go through the streets, and in a month or so, you have healed them all. Is that world a good world?
No.
Is that a good world? That would be a bad world. A bad world.
Just one big party the whole time.
Oh yes, the doctors would not. They would be all against us. Now that is not the answer, because healthy, physical people are a danger.
Healthy, physical people are
a danger. You look at the dictator. The healthier he is, the worse he is. The only thing that keeps him sometimes a bit straight and narrow is that he's not so healthy. People don't not know what to do with their physical health. They don't know what to do with it. They cannot make use because they would not have a healthy consciousness. See? They would not. Have you ever noticed something? We have Jesus. He goes around and heals, right and left. Who were his disciples? Were they those who he had healed? No. He sent them away. He healed them and said, "You go back to the church and go purify your feet and be good afterwards. Don't come back. I can't use you. I can't use you." Isn't that interesting? Have you ever seen that those in Christian Science who had the best healings became the best students? I haven't seen that. I'm amazed at how many people one has healed really of something important or serious, and they have not become real students. And you just wonder why. I think, is that ingratitude or what is it? But they haven't. Jesus' disciples were fishermen, and he didn't heal them, he called them. He called them. He reached their consciousness and said, "There is a consciousness that is willing to follow." Because you see, why is it that Mrs. Eddy said that we should not take really sick people into the class, into their class in the organization? No teacher takes really a student in his class who is sick, who has a severe physical problem. Not one of them takes it. What is the reason? She gave the reason. She said, "These people sit in the class and sit there just with one frame of consciousness which says, now when I do get healed, now when I do get healed." Is this sentence that he says, the teacher says, is that going to heal me? They have that narrow frame of consciousness that is all directed towards the science of physical harmony. And so the student just doesn't hear the truth. He narrows everything down, every big statement that the teacher then makes and presents, narrows it down and says, "Does that heal my problem? Will I get my healing?" And that's too bad. That's not worthwhile teaching such a student. Because the whole truth is spilled all over and dries away. Do you see that? And that is the great turning point we have to face, that until the Christian Science field is not seeing that Christian Science is more than just achieving the science of physical harmony, then it cannot survive, because it hangs back to the 5,000 year period. It only can go forward when it also has the same purpose in view as the science of spiritual harmony. Only then. Now, this brings me to another point, namely this, which I haven't touched on it while we were going through the 1,000-year periods, and which we have to bring out too. Namely, we must be aware that even if we go from 1,000 period to a higher, we actually never leave wholly the preceding ones behind. They are still part of it. So the science of spiritual harmony includes naturally the science of physical harmony. That's quite clear. Huh? So the 6,000 year period of demonstration includes naturally the 5,000 year period of demonstration. That's quite clear. Huh? The point is that we have to see where is our accent, where do we put our weight on? Can you say that?
Emphasis.
Emphasis. The emphasis. Where is our emphasis? Is our emphasis today, how can I heal error? Or is our emphasis, how can I discover truth? See, that's the point. Because today only a spiritual consciousness can help the world. Physical health cannot help the world. Because we would have the same problem today in ecology, in the military field, in the financial field, in the sociological field, we would have the same problem, or worse problem, with healthy people than with sick people. Much more. Even if they were healthy and could work day and night, and could have at night a terrific dinner and feast, and during the day govern the world with their mortal consciousness, the whole world would be would not be better, it would be worse. It doesn't really do a thing. It doesn't do a thing. It does something to the individual for the moment, for a certain situation. I would say that if I would have terrific pain now this week and would have to teach the class, I would be very happy not to have pain. I'm quite agreed to that. But it wouldn't help the world. It wouldn't help really anything. But because I still feel, because this is foreign to my consciousness. It's foreign to my consciousness to feel we are here to find a competition against the medical faculty, so that we can say to the medical faculty, you heal well, but we heal better. I would feel that this is really worthwhile living. I wouldn't feel that. Other people would feel it's worthwhile living. But not for me. And it shouldn't be for a scientist. Scientists should really see that we have to heal consciousness. We have to give to consciousness a higher frame of reference, a higher sense of science. Consciousness will do it, not the physical body. Yes?
Max?
Yes? Yes?
That help that you mentioned about healthy people is sometimes a danger. Would that be a mortal mind sense of health?
Yes, well, naturally it would be a mortal mind, a bodily sense of health. Huh? Yes. Yeah? Yeah? Sure. All right.
Your statement there is that consciousness will do it, not mind.
Not the physical health. Not physical health. See? Physical health, a physical body, if we have 4 billion healthy physical bodies today, would be quite a problem. Yeah? If we would not have all the millions that die every day of child because of hunger and I don't know what, and epidemics and so on, we couldn't feed them. You can put it right down to that simple denominator. Well, that's a bit making it a bit brutal, but it is. But it is so, huh?
No. Yeah. Well, you're not the first to say it.
I'm not the first to say it. No, no. Today. Now, let's leave that, or we. Yeah, Maria.
No, I was just thinking it wouldn't have any lasting purpose if you did that anyway, because the consciousness of the individual could not sustain itself.
Yes.
Therefore, it would only get sick again anyway.
Yeah.
So you'd be continually in there patching up the kits, doing it for them, so to speak, and that would not be a worthwhile life purpose.
No.
Well, that's what you said. Always at the church did anyway.
Yes. Ah. All right. Well, we did this, huh? So can you see what the issue is for us today? That we have something completely different in view, that our heart and love goes out for something else, for the signs of spiritual harmony. Okay.
About the
7,000 year period. Well, that's where Mr. Zeddy was, huh? I don't know, I haven't been there rightly yet. We leave that to the future, huh? Yeah. See, that's also something very nice. A good question. As long as one is in a state of consciousness like the six, it's very difficult, or whatever that period is, very difficult to know what the next will be. We only know it when it comes, or usually we know it after it has come for 20, 30 years. We begin to perceive it. So we cannot outline the development. We can only be awake to what is going on. So nobody really can say what the form is in the 7,000 period, except that we today, in the way of science, we begin to see already that it will have to do only with the capitalized terms, with that singleness of purity, of reality, that hardly needs any more symbolization.
Yeah, some kind of vision out here.
Yes. Yes.
Do you have any vision about how the healing would be? I mean, what healing is maybe an obsolete term, but what practice would be in the 7,000?
In the 7,000 period, I don't think there will be any more the difference between principle and practice. But it will be the one. So that there is, you see, in that 7,000 year period, evil is excluded. It's no more something that we have to understand rightly or to correct it, but you know from the levels that in divine science, really, evil is excluded. It's no more a problem that presents itself. So there is no more a special practice for it. The practice is the principle itself. See? If you want to have healing, you go out from the proposition of duality. You see, and you ask yourself, what is the relationship? How to solve that duality? But in divine science, you know, evil is excluded. Therefore, it must not more be treated. You treat, principle treats itself. If you want to have a treatment, and it's just that principle treats itself of what it is, and nothing else. It's no more applied to something. And that's something which naturally we begin to feel, you see?